I thank the Lord for all that he is and all that he means to me. Speaking of that thousand cords our hearts entwine, when you're in a low spot, I'll say, it's always amazing how the love of God is fulfilled through his people. And I have felt it myself in the passing of my mom. And they have a program with hospice that is a very wonderful little program that helps in the last few days of a loved one's life and in their death. But even after that, they want to make sure that you are taken care of. That is their desire, that you can go forward. And they have reached out to me several times. Are you okay? Everything okay? And I have to report that I am doing well because I have such wonderful support. And they're there to support. That's their purpose. But I thought, I've told them, I have a wonderful family and a wonderful church family. And I said, it makes all the difference in the world. And then it also makes me very aware of how many people don't have that. But I want you to know, I feel loved. And I appreciate that so much. That's my personal testimony, but that's not the message tonight. The message tonight is a continuation of what the Lord had given me this morning in Kansas City, so you'll have to compare notes with them too. But it's just a continuation of something better is what I feel burdened to talk about tonight. And I want to start out with, if you could go with me to Joshua, the second chapter and the 8th verse, we'll start there. We read of an unusual, very unusual situation. And before they were laid down, she, Rahab, came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom thou ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I want to stop there just a minute. What a testimony. And this was not an Israelite. This was a woman who was in a very immoral society and who had a very immoral occupation. This is Rahab. But she had a testimony out of those lips. And I'm thinking, what a wonderful... We didn't really even hear that from the Israelites too much. But here she was observing some things that had happened. And she saw something better in them. And she said, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye shall save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given you us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the house, upon the wall. That cord was her hope. But she had a hope in a God that she wasn't even real familiar with. It wasn't something that she was raised up with. It wasn't something that she had full knowledge of. But she had a hungering because there was something better out there. There was something more that she wanted that she knew she did not have. And you know, the Lord spared her. And if you'll notice, she's of the lineage of Jesus. And I thank the Lord for that, because I'm thinking she had a hunger. She had a desire for something better. Do you know, we still live in a world of people that want something better. They desire something better out of you. If you'll go with me to Mark, the 15th chapter, When Jesus was being crucified, I think we gloss over sometimes the, well, because it is written, we don't have a lot of emotional inflection in what is being said, and we sometimes forget the society that was they were among. Romans gloried in gore, horror, the bloodier, the better, the torture. There was something that they lusted after horrible things. They were a very immoral society, and this is what they chased after. So crucifixion was a party for them. It was a place to watch someone die in agony, and they fed on that. That's hard to imagine. We think we live in a wicked society. They did too. That's what they feasted on. And here is Jesus dying on a cross. And it said, the 33rd verse of the 15th chapter of Mark. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now there was somebody in attendance that watched all of this from the very beginning to the very end. We don't know if he's the one that put actually the nails in his hand. Don't know. The Romans were the one that carried out this vicious, horrible, gory, agonizing crime against Jesus. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. He saw someone die heroically. Now, in a Roman's eyes, that was the top you could ever do. To die without cursing, to die without screams, to die without letting go of dignity. They thought that was incredible. And when the centurion witnessed all that, he went even a step further. And you know, they had lots of gods. Gods meant a lot to them. They worshiped on different levels of gods. But he said, truly, this was the Son of the Highest. Today, I saw something better than I've ever seen before. I've witnessed something that has blown me away as a Roman. I don't know if that made a difference in his life. I trust it did. But we just those little words there hold so much deep emotion. It struck this centurion to the very core of his Roman existence. And you know, the wicked world we live in, they're desiring to see something more. They want to see something better. They want to see Jesus in you. You call yourself a Christian? I want to know that you really have it. Acts, the third chapter. And this is when Peter and John were at the gate called Beautiful. Acts 3 and 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Oh, he was getting ready to receive something, all right. But it wasn't what he thought it was. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, But such as I have, give I thee. I have something more for you that's going to do more for you than this petty money will ever do you. Than this, I have something more for you. And he gave him Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is what that man needed, wasn't it? He didn't need their paltry offerings. He needed Jesus. He was looking for something more. He didn't realize that today was going to be the day, but he wanted something better than what he had. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising. Why? Because he wanted something more. And Peter and John wanted him to have something more. I don't want to give you just me. I want to give you Christ. I want to give you Jesus. Do you know that we live in a world that is... there are times that we will be tried, is the best word, tested, annoyed, tempted. You're going to be given opportunity to see what you're really made of over and over again, because they want to see something more out of you. They want something more. I've thought about, you know, many times we, I wouldn't want to do this, would never do this. But, you know, people see that there's a difference in you when you walk up. And they'll say, sometimes say, you look like a praying person. And what if you just let out a whole list of explicatives to them at that moment? What do you think they would think about that? They would see something that wasn't Christ. But whenever they're looking for something out of you more than what they have, something better. And do you know, when you respond to the world in a carnal manner by fill in the blank, losing your temper or entering into their conversations or trying to be like them in some way, that you haven't shown them anything better. But when you live a life of holiness before the world, you're showing them Christ. When you name the name of Christ, you're saying, if I am a Christian, it better look like Christ in me. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I appreciate that. And that is in Colossians, the first chapter and the 27th verse. We'll read that. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What are they looking for? They're looking for a hope. They're looking for something in you that wants them, that draws them in, that makes them want more of it. You are the salt of the earth, salt them a little bit. 1 Peter 3 and 15 will complete this. 1 Peter 3 and 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When they ask of you, what is your hope? What are you driving at? What are you looking for? What are you attaining to? Show them Jesus. Desire you, pray for me.